clear repetitions of the path, then in the end we are going to get the fruition. So, and this is a very special feature of the Vajrayana. The part that was missed early on was that the special feature of the Vajrayana, instead of using of the fruition or the result being taken as the path itself, and this is something that's not dealt with in the sutra. So at the moment, being reborn the human rhyme, we are talk about the six aspects of a womb-born being. Now, when we enter into the Vajrayana, we can do the self-generation of the Eden practice now. And at the time of path, the fruition is already integrated within it. And within emptiness, we integrate that with the practice of compassion of bodhicitta. And at the same time, we will actually do the great completion stage also. We can attain Buddhahood in one very lifetime. So when doing the growth and subtle generation stage of the Idam, and this is also all these are not being dealt with in the Sutrayana teaching, and this exclusively depends to the special profound qualities of the Tantrayana practice. So at the time of passing away, now there will be the sequence of the gradual dissolution of the four great elements. First of all, the earth into the water, water into the fire, fire into the wind, and then the wind into the consciousness. So therefore in the Vajrayana, now we all learn of how the death proceeds, etc. So now with regard to the gradual sequential dissolution of the four elements, first of all, the earth being dissolved into the water, now that what it means is that the elements, the power of the elements or the capacity elements have gradually becoming weaker, and then the water element, the capacity become weaker. For example, at the time of death, the person cannot walk or stand themselves, they will actually need to lie down. So now what it actually is, it is a physical manifestation of the earth element being dissolved, and then the earth element itself cannot support itself. So now when the water element dissolves into the fire element, what it means is that the physical manifestation is that the person will feel dry and thirsty, and then every part of the body will feel dry, and then the form will also change, and then the fire element to the wind element, now what it actually means is that when the fire element dissolves to the wind element, now it feels that what it implies is that the temperature will drop, and then even when the doctor tried to take the pulse of the patient, he couldn't feel it. Now a lot of people think that the person has died. Not exactly. It's not the actual death, because there's still the stage where the wind element dissolves into the consciousness. Now, so at this moment, even the most subtle pulse would have ceased. And at the moment now is the time where we need to truly engage in the practice. And now what it means is when the subtle senses are all completely ceased, and at the moment if we can actually use at this moment to attain emptiness, it's good, but it's not exactly most easy, because even when the gross senses cease and the most subtle mind arise, and we can use this to realize emptiness, we need to actually get to be extremely familiarized ourselves, very extremely habitually familiar with using these aspects to realize emptiness, such that even when we at the time of death, we can actually use this in the path to realize emptiness. Now, first of all, we need to know the sequence of when the four elements dissolve. Then we know all from at this moment, we know which stage we are and which one is to arise and which one is just past, etc. So at the moment, we have to keep our mind extremely clear to keep ourselves so as to avoid ourselves from being rebuffed in the lower rhyme. We need to think about the selflessness, emptiness, and great bodhicitta. And at this moment, in order to engage in the Idam practice, and if we actually engage in the practice very diligently here, we will not drop into the lower rhyme as a most simplest achievement of it. At the moment, even though the five senses cease, the gross five senses cease, what is left is merely the consciousness. And even the gross consciousness will have ceased, and what is left is that the subtle consciousness, and the subtle consciousness, through using the subtle consciousness, we can perceive emptiness, and where the gross feelings such as anger, etc., have all ceased. And if we can actually using the subtle consciousness to stay within the subtle consciousness with no defilements, to realize emptiness, and this then we will through using the subtle consciousness to try to realize emptiness, at the very least we can achieve a very favorable rebirth. Now generally most sentient beings at the time of death, what they give rise to are actually attachment. That's because they do not wish to pass away, and towards friends, towards wealth, etc., houses, they are attached to them, and all these are actually defilements, and which mean they die in a state of attachment mind. Or they could even die with, say, hatred of anger, which means the time of what it implies will be, of course, a lower rebirth. Now, for a practitioner, they can actually use transforming of the, using Idam Yoga to transform these into the three bodies of the Buddha, to combine that with the idea, the teaching on selflessness, and then to change Bado into Sambhogakaya, Dettamakaya, and birth into Namanakaya as a path. Now, for a practitioner, now, how is a person able to do it? Now, when the earth capacity gradually ceases, he will be able to feel that, yes, my earth element is ceasing. So I know what is the inner sign and what are the outer manifestation, which is that the physical aspects cannot support itself. And then he will be trying to alert himself, which is to go to the next stage, whereby the such as the water element is going to cease, and the water element is already is happening now. So inner manifestation, what I will feel, and outer manifestation, this is what I will feel. This petitioner will individually very clearly control and to know, to expect, to anticipate, and to recall what has gone past, what is coming, etc., and such that, and through every day's gradual familiarity of this practice and the Idam practice, they will not be actually affected by the three poison, and then giving rise to the correct motivation, and then combine that with the teaching, with the meditation impermanence on bodhicitta, for this person definitely they will not be reborn the lower rhymes. And especially the wisdom of selflessness is most critical here, because the emptiness of selflessness here, well, through meditation on this, we can stop all defilement at the time of the subtle consciousness, arising of subtle consciousness. This person can actually enter into deep samadhi or meditation. As for example, a person who can enter into tikdam of one day, more day, etc., is because this petitioner, every day the petitioner is a sign of the fruition of the successful practice of the practitioner, such that every day this practitioner can use what they are doing every day into the mode at the time of death. For a practitioner realizing this path, even he's not able to gain liberation, now at the very least he can stop us from being reborn to three lower rhymes. So this is this is a result, a sign of the fruition of successful daily familiarity with Idam practice. Now at the time of the gradual season of the four great elements, now there are also inner manifestation. For example, after the four great elements have ceased, at the time of the dissolution of the subtle consciousness, the Buddha in many teaching is very clear, such as a manifestation of the white, the red, the black, as well as the etc. other manifestation. So we know, if we are very familiar with the generation stages dissolution, we know which can be corresponded to whichever practice, and this will be a very great help to practices in this life and all future lives. So for a person who is really intent on practicing Lama Chupa, the person must be able to grasp how transformation into three bodies of the Buddha, and this means we need to diligently practice self-generation of the Idam practice. If you can really grasp self-generation of the Idam practice, then the outer inner secret obstacles can be overcome, and even the attainment of Buddhahood, this will be a very important and great help. So a preliminary petitioner, now what should this preliminary should do? The preliminary should actually, through self-generation practice of Idam practice, to accumulate lots of great merit, to break all ordinary perception, and then through the generation, self-generation transformation, to actually attain transformation to the three bodies of the Buddha. For a preliminary practitioner, these are the crucial critical points. Now, now going back again to where Omahome appears. Now, Omahome actually encompasses all the principles we have taught as above. Now, Omahome can also be used for blessing. And for example, at this moment, towards the five nectar, the blessing man, Omahome is the most succinct manner of blessing. Now, Om actually is for blessing, and are transforming to nectar, and then all the inner offering must be transformed into nectar first before it can be the inner offering, and Home is to make it inconceivably huge and huge, and that is essentially a short definition of the meaning of Omahome. So when making the offering, of course, there are specific sequence. First is purification, blessing, purification, as well as arising. So, for example, Omahome is for blessing. Blessing what we are doing. We are blessing what? Blessing the substance such that it become flawless nectar. And there's a manner of blessing. And what is to purify? It will purify all the outer inner obstacles, and to actually transform everything that is impure into purity. And so when at the moment we are saying the mantra on Shitibi Gita Nanahumpe, and there's a mantra for purification, and there what's arising is the arising of the outer inner a secret and suchness offering. Now and with regard to the inner offering here, inner offering consists mainly of the five and five nectars, as well as the arising of all the many offering aspects and their functionality and capacity. In order transforming to the aspect, the functionality and capacity of the offerings are the objects to which we purify the inner offering into. So because of the inner offering portion in the sadhana, now Rupichi has made an explanation earlier on. The aspects, the functionality, and the capacity are all replete with it. So they are actually replete with the qualities of great bliss, non-dual emptiness. Now the object to which you are making the offering is the field of merit. Is one of the object, of course. And with regard to the merit field, we actually cover halfway. Now following on, we are going to carry on to the other portion of the merit field. Now with regard to the merit field, is in then. From the body, the body of the Vajradhara, which is that from the merit, and in the middle of the merit field is a lot of secret Vajradhara. One face to arm is a dark blue in color, and holding the Vajrayana bell and embracing Vajradhadishvari, and then and feel the body, great bliss, non-dual emptiness, and with all sorts of and ornaments. With all kinds of silken raiments, garments, and all kind of jewel ornaments, and this portion that we are talking about here is actually the outfit of the Vajradhara, or the ornaments, or the precious substances, as well as all the silken raiments, and as complete with all 32 major signs, 80 minor signs, and then in the mind is have emptiness, not to be emptiness, which means they are omnisciently aware of omnisciently aware of the inherent emptiness of all emptiness and true emptiness, possessing the great bliss. So Lord Vajradhara, the form is possessed 32 major signs and 80 minor signs and marks, and actually giving rise to self arising, sub arising light, especially five major kinds of light, and then the body, the legs in the Vajra posture. The Vajra posture, there are three kinds. First is like the Buddha Shakyamuni's posture when sitting. The other is the half lotus posture, such as that of the Holy Tara, with a right leg extended. And this is known as the half Vajra posture. The third kind of posture is the intertwine of the upper and lower legs. That's the third kind of the Vajra posture. The Vajra Vajra posture, the five aggregates have now purified into the forms of the five dining Buddhas. Now here talking about the purified form of the five aggregates into the five dining Buddhas, and the four elements are the four motherly consorts, referring to Mamaki, Maki, Pandaravasani, Tara, as well as Lochana. So the four great motherly consorts, as mentioned earlier, and the Vajradhara's body, the channels, the joints, etc., are all the actual Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, are in reality all the Bodhisattvas. The energy, the channels, sinew, and joints are all in reality the Bodhisattvas. So the Vajradhara's body, the specific aspects arise into which Buddhas and Bodhisattva, and in the self-generation of Guhya Samaja is extremely clearly elucidated as to which particular bodily aspect are which Buddha Bodhisattva. So, and all the 21,000 hair poles are the Mahayana Arahants. 21,000 poles of Vajradhara Arahants, the limbs refers to the legs, the legs, the hands, and the heads. These are on which are placed the 10 Rafu protectors. And the light rays direction, guardians, lots of wealth, the attendants, all worldly gods about cushions for your feet. So, which means underneath the cushions are all the lots of wealth, all directional guardians, the attendants, and the worldly gods. For example, in some sadhana, it was mentioned that the four directional kingly protectors are cushions, and this is actually similar to what is said in this sadhana. Now, after visualizing the main deity in the middle, in front are all the lineage whom we are directly connected to, behind all the lineage teachers, and around are all the Idams, all the Buddha Bodhisattva, the Viradakinis and protectors, like ocean-like assembling around this main Vajradhara figure. So all these main Idam and all their retinues and all these deities at their three places are the ornamented with Om Ahum. Now the Om is at the forehead and is white in color. A is at the throat and is red in color. And Om is at the heart, is blue in color. So later on you have to visualize at the heart of Vajradhara. There's a Om letter, and the Om letter light issue forth, and the form of the light ray is the form of hook, and actually hook all the Edams and all the merit fields and all the deities within the merit fields, such as Guru Vajradhara, Lama Tsongkhapa, and all Buddha Bodhisattva, the 10 direction from their natural abode. All comes here, and then natural abode refers to where they are naturally residing or they're naturally resting in equipos. So the manner of invitation, there are many forms too. Also, so one form is inviting from natural, but the other form, the other way is to invite from the temporary residence, and then and that's the third kind too. There are three manners, and the first, this manner here is invitation from the natural, but what it means is where it's permanently or stably residing in, and when how to invite meaning please come here. Invitation of course means to please come here. What we invite are the the person who invites is Samaya Sattva, and the person who we invite here are the wisdom, a wisdom being, or the the person we invite are the commitment being, and then the person whom I invited here are the wisdom beings. So the next, yeah, the source of goodness, bliss, and perfection, all the it means is a praise to the merit field. You are the source of goodness, bliss, and perfection. The ruling is Guru Idam, Tri Jivasarafi, Viradakindapala, protected in taught three times by the power of compassion. Please come forth and abide steadfastly here in front of ourselves. Next verse is that though all things are totally free of or in Dhammakaya, although in their inherent nature, there's neither coming no going in this in ultimate inherent nature, but however in the that is a definition from the point of the ultimate truth. There is no self or others in ultimate truth, but in form and a conventional form, name or relative truth, in order to benefit all sentient beings, different capacities, in order to go along with the sentient beings, really conventional mind, out of compassion and compassionate activity, we request in order to what forms suit the temperament of varied disciples, O holy refuge protector, please come with your entourage. So similarly, as following, we are doing the mantra Om Guru Buddha Bodhisattva Dhamma Pala Sabada Ehi. So this is a mantra for invitation. Which is that the commitment being inviting the wisdom being, and then the guru is the teacher. The Buddha is of course the Buddhas, all Bodhisattvas and all the Dharma protector, ocean light assembly. Oh, please come here, Zahom Bangho, and upon saying Zahom Bangho, the wisdom and the commitment of symbolic being become non-dual. Becoming non-dual means what it means. It doesn't mean that they say the red or the yellow colors, which are so distinctly different, being asked to join. Not that, but rather it's like the water merging into water, being a non-dually, completely integrated. Okay. The next portion is the offering of the seven limbs, and the offering of the seven limbs, of course, is actually similar to the teachings given during the 100 deity, which is the offering, confessing, rejoicing, and treating, and so forth. So at this moment, what we are talking about here, the prostration, in what manner do we do prostration? There are actually five kinds of manner we can do prostration. The first kind is to understand with faith that the guru is the Dhammakaya. Second is to understand that the guru is Sambhogakaya and do prostration. To understand that the guru is Namanakaya and do prostration. The fourth is to recognize that realize that the teacher is a combination of three jewels to make prostration. The five is to realize that the guru is the embodiment of all Buddha of the three times to make prostrations. Now, first is to have faith that the guru is Sambhogakaya, or what it refers to here, from great compassion and great bliss, you through compassion, you in an instant show the supreme attainment of the three bodies to such a supremely precious teacher, to you like Vajra, you who are like Vajra, to you I make prostrations to you. Now, with regard to this phrase, of course there's another way of reciting it. These two different ways of reciting the meaning are actually synonymous. So the next verse, saying that we have faith that the guru is the Manakaya and to make prostrations to him. You are the nature of all the Buddhas, but in order, you are related to all the Buddhas in order to benefit all sentient beings. You show all this kind of skillful manifestation, especially the supreme profound refuge. To you I make prostrations. Now what is mentioned here is that all the gurus, the supreme qualities of the peaceful manifestations. This prostration is like prostration to Buddha Shakyamuni. Now the Buddha actually showed 12 enlightened deeds to tame all sentient beings, and so this is the great profound activities of the supreme Namanakaya, and the guru is just like Buddha Shakyamuni, which was skillful in taming sentient beings. And so the first saying that to you, the guru, to you, I, in front of you I make prostration, respectfully take refuge. So the third portion part here is to visualize a guru as the Dhammakaya and to have faith that the guru is Dhammakaya, to man, and through this faith to make the prostration. The first verse saying here is that prostrate to your feet, O venerable guru, so source of benefit and bliss to the extent you made the root of all faults and instinct. Which is mean remove all the habitual tendency, the fundamental and the general ignorance are removed, and you are treasure your merit jewel like quality. Now it means that the body, speech and mind qualities have all completed and perfected, and so and then that the guru, you are able to give us all benefits and happiness, you are the source of happiness and joy, and you are able to give all the qualities in of teaching and realization. And to you, to guru, at your feet, in front of you, I reverently make prostration. Now the fourth verse is that prostrate to you, O benevolent Guru, your reality nature of all the three jewels. First verse here, it says that your Guru, your reality, all Buddhas are three times. And the second, the next verse saying that, oh Guru, you are the, your source, 84,000 pure Dharma, you are the source. And then the third verse saying that, oh Guru, you are the all the holy assembly, the Sangha, you are the main Idam of all the holy Sangha. Then, which means your Guru, you are of great kindness, a benevolent, kind Guru, do you reverently make prostrations. So the last or the next, the last verse of this section, the fifth verse, which means that you are approaching to the Guru as a Guru, is the combined form of all Buddha, Bodhisattva, the three times and ten direction. It means you are someone who is worthy of homage and someone who is worthy of faith. Because of our faith, our body makes the prostration, and then the mind, and from our speech we make praises, and from our visualization we actually manifesting infinite bodies, and with great faith to make prostrations. So about the above portion, it refers to the prostration limb of the seven limb. The next what we're going to go into is still the second limb of the seven limb, which is still the offering. Now because Lama Trupa is actually composed based on the sadhana practice of Guhya Samaja, so now the offering, therefore there are five types of offering, the five types of making the offering. Now regard to the five types of offering mentioned in Guhya Samaja, it means that out internally is the offering like that of the vast initiation, internally is like the offering through the secret empowerment. Now secret empowerment is that of the as a wisdom nature initiation, and then giving us as such like reality offering, or is like offering as such like medicinal qualities. These are the few kinds of offerings. So externally given is offering like the vast initiation, means the offering of the purity of the three views. Now the way of making the offering is that we have to contemplate and think that whatever the offerings, the things that we are offering, the person to whom we are making the offering, the object to whom, to which we are making the offering, and the offering itself, these three aspects are themselves are without our inherent reality, so therefore are pure by the inherently. So through understanding this, we make the first kind of offering. So at the moment, the object to whom we are making the offering, instead of the most venerable Guru and all the entourage, and if we got through all the infinite varieties of offering that we're making here, and all these offering includes the offering of the five senses, the eight offerings, the seven treasures, etc. So all these offerings, the number is like ocean, like infinite, and it cannot be completed. The capacity for enjoyment, it is completely infinite. So it visualize that all these offerings, because these offerings are actually visualized from our mind, so we can transform it into the on an infinite scale. So and the vessel on in which we place all these offerings are also infinitely wide and inconceivable. So and also what we can actually purify, the four types of nectar, the four types of nectar refer to Agampading Echamanam Prasanam. So the four kinds of Drucha, these are the four kinds of offering given according to the highest Yuga Tantra. So we're making the offerings, it's just like we are making the sequence of making the inner offering, which is that first of all is purifying, and the antidote remedial application. What it means, it means that what the offering that we are making, if it is first not having remedial action being applied to it, there still be impurities within it. So when there's impurities within it and we make offering which are impure, then it's no good for the person to make the offering. So therefore we must first purify it, and when you purify, you are mainly using emptiness to make the purify, and then to visualize that all the three aspects are empty. Three aspects are emptiness. We're making it offering through the three aspects of emptiness, and the power is tremendous. So we're making the offerings, and we are offering agam. Agam actually means water which you use for drinking. So because if the climate is hot, we can get cool from drinking water. The padding, of course, is water of the washing the feet, and is for cleansing, and then after Intamanam is still center. What Intamanam you're offering to the chest, because the nature, the ultimate nature is a place where ultimate nature is enshrined where big body is concerned. So which means that is for purity essentially. And finally Prasanam is actually sprinkling water. Prasanam, Prachanam actually means sprinkling water, offering a sprinkling water. So following that, we're offering the other flowers now in China or India. We are also offering the tradition offering garlands of flower. Now what it actually means is that the water must be fresh and must not, cannot be withered, and the flower must be beautiful and pleasing to the senses. And so this is the real meaning of making flower offerings. So we're making the flower offering, whether it be a garland of water or individual or flower, is not just a one or two flower or just a flower on a single plate only. What we need to visualize is that the entire ground, entire space are filled with infinite flowers, and the larger the number of flowers you make, the greater the number of positive qualities we will get in return. So we're making the offering. The motivation is very important. The motivation is to be free from deceit, or we should also visualize the object towards whom we are making offering. The person who is offering and the person who are making offering and the offering themselves are interdependent on each other, and so by inherently empty. And we're thinking of that, the power of making the offering is awesome, and then this merit will never degenerate as well, and the benefit will be extremely will be inconceivable.
Okay. On the four types of offering, the four types of water offering. First is the drinking water. Second kind is a rinsing water. Third one is a feet cleansing water. The last kind is called sprinkling water offering. So with regard to offering of flower, now the offering, the corresponding offering is that of the senses of the sight. Flower is offered to fulfill sense of the sight. So following what we're offering is that of the incense. Now incense refers to the burning of substances. The smoke that arises from burning of substances, then the offering of the smoke. Now what we burn are the precious wood, precious wood. Anything that gives off fragrance, sandalwood can be red wood, etc. Sandalwood. All these offering must be non-toxic, and the smoke that arises from them when they waft into the air, forming cloud like clouds. And we should visualize that all these smoke becoming like clouds. Filling out all space, and then making the offering. Now the person to who the senses to which you made the offering is that of the smell, senses of smell, and the merit is inconceivable. And towards the future, our body, we will be able to give rise to a very pleasant odor from our body, and be able to achieve a pure bodily form in the future. These are the benefits that arise from making the smoke offering. So the incense offering that we make are like clouds, and filling out infinite space, and filling out infinite space. Like we are making this small offering, we see that the small offering slowly ascending into the sky and filling out all the space. So then we should visualize that all these burning incense are like clouds, completely filling out entire space. And then the smell is extremely rich and able to give rise to joy in the person who smell them. And we should visualize that this offering is empty of three aspects, which means and it's very important that we remember offerings are free from three aspects, and the offering to which we make, the motivation must be free from attachment, must be free from greed attachment. If we have greed attachment and making the offering, then it becomes impure. So through making the offerings, and the benefit is that we'll be free from bodily odor. And then sometimes we know that some people have bad bodily odor and they don't get close to them, because when making the offering, there are some faults when making offering. There's a result of making offering of incense. Now we can accomplish temporary as well as ultimate benefits, and ultimate benefit, of course, will be that it is a powerful cause for achievement of Buddhahood.
So the next offering we are making is that of light, and offering of light refers to the sun's brightness, or the moon's brightness, or the wish fulfilling jewel's brightness, or the lamb's offerings. The lamb's light, it can fill up the entire 3,000 four world, can overcome the darkness in this all the world. So this is something like the sun and the moon brightness can actually illuminate the darkness of ignorance in our hearts. And we're making the light offering, which we visualize like that, making this kind of light offering is a cause for future ripening of intelligence and wisdom, and then we'll be able to get rid of ignorance. So similarly, when we see anyone passing away, sometimes we will light lamps or candles. This is to help the person who has passed away, because in the Bado, if the person has a very bright outlook, or then it will help the person's next life, rebirth. When in the Bado the person is confused or ignorant, then he will be born in somewhere which is unfavorable. Therefore, for the deceased, light offering is extremely important and can bring extremely great benefit for the person who has passed. So most importantly, we're making the offering of light, and we can achieve the attainment of Mahamudra. So with the offering of lamb is the cause, and possessing wisdom, we can get rid of ignorance or darkness. So the next offering we are making is that of centered water, and centered water refers to offering of incense, means of saffron, of sandalwood, and of camphor, and a swirl out to the horizons. And saffron, sandalwood, camphor are like ocean, because the ocean can flow to many places, and making the centered water is as white and voluminous as the ocean, and can flow to all out to the horizon to all the Buddhas. And making the centered water, and the centered water we actually smear at the place of the heart chakra and the central channel, because in the body there's a central channel and the two side channels, and the two side channels are actually intertwined at certain places and forming knots. And by putting the center water onto the heart chakra, the place where the right and left channel are intertwined to the central channel, this create auspicious cause for the knot to be unraveled, and then to give rise, when the knots are unraveled, great bliss of emptiness are then be experienced. And so when the center water being placed at the central channel, there's this special significance which acts as a special auspicious cause for unraveling of the center of the heart chakra, and then subsequently to experience great bliss, non-dual emptiness. So we're making the visualization, we are thinking that the offering is given to the teacher's heart chakra. When giving offering to the guru's heart chakra, it also help us to give rise to the great bliss, non-dual with emptiness. So the next offering to make is that the offering of food, and the offering of food is to make to the guru's mouth, and not any other places. So we're making the offering of food. Now it refers to is a food which is possessed of 100 tastes, and what it refers to is that what we should visualize is the food actually fills the entire space and phenomena, or is a mess like an object as huge and high like Mount Sumeru. Why should we visualize like that and make offerings like this? Because the food offering that we make are that to fulfill that of the set of the taste, and taste, of course, we talk about six types: sweets, sour, salty, spicy, hot, etc. So the six types of offering, and these tastes themselves also possess 100 aspects, 100 varieties, 100 nature. So therefore we can also divide taste into 100 form. So when making food offering, it can actually ripen us into enriching enjoyment, into it can ripen into the quality of enrichment, endless enjoyment for us in the future.
future. So the next offering we're making is that of music, and the offering of music at this time, we must think of all the musical instruments giving rise to all side kinds of beautiful music, and offering this to the Buddhas. And what kind of musical instruments can include all kinds of variety of instruments, anything that's conceivable, drums, flute, etc., and all of them giving rise to infinite kinds of melodious music and making as offering. And we can visualize also the offering goddesses, offering goddesses of the five senses, offering of the form, the Vajra goddess, and then and the taste Vajra, and then touch Vajra, smell Vajra, and then sound Vajra, because this is offering of the music. So therefore is offering of the Vajra goddess and of sound. So, and all these five senses have their corresponding offering goddesses whom we should visualize making the offerings. Offering of music, besides all the musical instruments we mentioned above, we can also visualize offering all the best music from the six rhymes of existence. For example, the heavenly gods' music are better than music we can find human rhyme, but in every respective rhyme they are their respective special kinds of music, and all these different music we offer as they exist throughout the entire six rhymes, and the merit that that reciprocally we shall receive are also inconceivable. And following and is that of the understanding that the five senses offering, the quintessential offering of these five senses now refers to the form, sound, smell, taste, and touch, and the best and only nothing but the best and the most marvelous we offer true emanated goddesses from our hearts, and within their palms consisting of everything that's best of the five senses. For example, the Vajra goddesses of the form, she only offering everything that's best for the senses, and then the sound Vajra goddess offering everything that's best in terms of music and the best kinds of music, and then the Vajra goddesses of smell and offering only those everything that the queen essential, everything of the best of smells, of scent, of aroma, fragrance, and then the taste Vajra goddesses offering everything that's most delicious, and the touch Vajra goddess offering everything that's best in terms of clothing, outfit, etc., and the object towards which is fulfillment of the senses. And then these offerings are utmost purity with absolutely impeccably flawless, and impeccably flawless. So we are people from of the world. So towards form and name, we do have a kind of aspiration of desire to wanting all these nice sounds, nice form, and we are aversion towards sound which are unpleasant. And this is something that everyone of the world are like this. So when we are making offering, we can must offer only those things that we like, and not offer those things we dislike. And we cannot offering those things to the teacher that we dislike. And if we do this, we offer these to the teacher, things that we dislike, then this, that there are flaw in this, and there's bad karma. So we should only offer those things that we like and we consider pleasant and good. So as above, of the seven limb, there's a limb of offering, and what we're offering is to fulfill that, or this are the sensual offerings, and this is also the offering manner as offered the Guya Samaja. But with regard to Heruka, offering is a different set, and it's also very, or even it's wider, and it corresponds to the offering peculiar or unique to the Idam concern. So regard to the seven limb, the prostrating and the offering limb we've completed. Next one is the offering of mandala. So making the mandala offering, now there are many different ways of making the mandala offering. For example, there are 37 heap, there are 23 heap, there are the 7 heap and the 5 heap mandala forms of offering. So Panchen Lobsang Chukyi Gyatson, the mandala offering refers, is that the, he used, utilized the 23 hip mandala as a mandala offering in the Lama Chupa.
Why is that so? Because when Tsongkhapa was in retreat and making mandala offering, Tsongkhapa uses a 23 hip mandala offering during his retreat. So Panchen Lobsang Chukyi Gyatson used the 23 hip mandala when making the mandala offering in the Lama Chupa. So why is that so? Because lineage Guru Narupa and Apakara, Narupa and Apakara, they also use the 23 hip mandala offering. So in relation to what Narupa and Apakara lineage master have done, Tsongkhapa also uses the 23 hip mandala in his mandala offering. So according to the commentary, they're saying if you're making mandala offering, we should try our best to give the best mandala we can. So, and this mandala is best made to be, is made of gold, second made of silver, and but we should make the mandala offering to our best ability. Otherwise, other material can also be used, and the heaps that are used that can include rice, jewel, greens, etc. This can be used as substances in the mandala itself. So when we even these we can't afford, such as those yogi or in the deep mountain, they can actually use white stones as mandala offerings. So when making the mandala offering, the plate, the quality of the plate is also can be used according to our ability. Can be gold, can be silver or bronze, or even if that's ordinary metal can be used, or even that cannot, wood also is possible according to one's ability. But of course, it's no good if you say we have ability to do it, but then we are only using greed because we are stingy, and of course this is no good. So the 23 hip mandala offering, this 23 hip consists of what? This 23 hip refers to the four great continents plus the eight minor continents, got total 12, and then followed by the seven treasure and the sun and the moon, and then followed by the king of mountain Mount Semeru, and then followed by the great treasure. Great treasure refers to the wish fulfilling jewel. So altogether 23. So with regard to the seven treasure, what are these seven treasure? Refer to wish fulfilling jewel, number one, and then the treasure hall, treasure elephant, and then precious minister. Precious minister, precious queen, yeah, etc. So with regard to among the mandala offering, how do we place the heap? First of all, the first verse always shinkambua means we are. It means let's make the mandala offering. The first phrase always shinkambua means let's make offering. The chant master will actually tell everybody, now let's make a mandala offering. Now it means that no matter how many people are here, let's make offering together. And then followed by Om Beda Bumiya Hong, then that's in Sanskrit, it means that the foundation is being created, the pure foundation is created, and then to emplace within the four main directions, north, south, east and west. And the east, of course, there are two types of consideration, will be in front, and which means the direction in front of ourselves consider east. And if that's the case, then east would be where we are. So next means the inconceivable mansion refers to the two minor continents in the east, and then the other two refers to the two minor continent to the south, continent of the Yaktail fan, etc. And then in the west, Yongden Dan Lam Chu refer to the two minor continent to the west. Refer to the two minor continents to the north. So when arraying the mandala, the text did not specify starting from the east. They say they specify starting from the south. From the south is wish fulfilling cow, and then in the west is the is a precious minister. In the north is the precious horse, and the southeast is that of the precious queen, and then southwest is that of the precious general, and then the
and northwest is a precious view, and then northeast is that of the Wifuling Jewel. So among these, and the great treasure is located within the east, but they're not saying what is the inner east. Is the south and the sun and the moon are to the right and the south. The Mount Sumeru, the king of mountains, in the middle. And so anyone who would like to make the three hit mandala, and then the mandala arrangement should be like what is mentioned earlier on. So when making the mandala offering, you must do the corresponding visualization also. First of all, is that of the Mount Sumeru. What we are offering is not just one, but infinite mandala offerings, infinite four continent, infinite Mount Sumeru. We are making the offering. So we're making the seven royal treasure now. It means the royal precious royal emblem. It can actually perfect every worldly happiness, and which means all the container and the contain. It can make the queen essential joy and happiness of gods and men, the great wish fulfilling jewel of all container and contain of both of existence. Only the best, the purest of the pure land, and that is well established, the most the best protector of the great compassion, and to the great field of merit to you, we make these offerings, whether those actually present or those visualized in our mind. These are all the wish fulfilling jewel, infinite ocean like offerings. So what it represents, because in samsara and nirvana, everything that is best, that is the most marvelous in existence, we make offerings. So we're making the mandala offering. We hold the mandala plate in our hand. The hand cannot be empty, so we should actually hold a heap of offering in our hands, a heap of rice in the left hand, and in the left hand, and holding the mandala plate, and then with the right hand at the side of the palms, we should actually say pit, and then put and then towards outside, rub three times. Have to use this the joints at the time, because the joints, this is area consists of three channels, the center as well as the two side channel, and then this actually has special significance. When rubbing the mandala three times towards the outside, what it means is to purify all the body, speech and mind coming obscuration, and then later on to hold a heap of the rice, and then to place it in the middle of the mandala plate, and then to rub three times internally, means to achieve all the attainments of the body, speech and mind by rubbing inwardly three times now. So if say we make visualization, the corresponding this visualization, making mandala offering, then it can give a cause of purifying all defilement, and also create a cause for receiving all the guru and Buddha's body, speech and mind's qualities. So we're making the 37 hit mandala offering. That way encompasses the offering object even more, especially the offering the wish fulfilling tree. Now when I'm making the ordinary the mouse mirror for sun and moon, the sun and moon Sajipoki Shishimeto Charm, this one refer, this is the 7 hit mandala offering. Why 7 hit? Because it refers to the four continent, king of mountain, the sun and moon, etc. These are consisting 7 hit. The 5 hit is even simpler, consisting the four continents, Mount Sumeru only. But we do understand that all these containers contain the queen essential existence. Everything are all encompassed, included within the four continents and Mount Sumeru. There are all many kinds of way of purifying the bad karma. The best is true prostration, and the best way to accumulate merit is to make mandala offerings. So of all the Dhamma door, these are the queen essential critical points. The best way to purify negative karma is prostration. The best way to accumulate merit is making mandala offerings. These are the critical points. So just like how Lama Tsongkhapa in the past manifests and Manjushri, due to Manjushri's request, Manjushri, in order to purify negative, to show the aspect of purifying negative karma, he make prostration and make mandala offering to accumulate merit. Tsongkhapa makes so much mandala offering, rubbing the mandala plates until the bones show on his hands. So as a result of this great accumulation of merit, he grasps the middle way completely and then realize emptiness. So therefore, in traditionally, to make the 3 year, 3 month retreat, we must accumulate merit and purify negative karma. So this means doing the full length prostration, making mandala offering. Without doing this preliminary, we cannot engage in a 3 year, 3 month retreat. In the past, this is a prerequisite given in the past, and it has special significance as to why these prerequisites are given.